So glad y'all are here today. Some people went out to the lake, you know, will set their boats on fire. It's a great Memorial Weekend. It's always good to reflect and visit those loved ones and things of that nature and what they've done in your life and the impact and the legacy they've left in you. Legacy is basically, it's not a building. People think it's just a building. It's not a building. It's what you leave in people. So hopefully you're doing that for your children and for your grandchildren as well. You guys are rolling right now already? All right. We're kind of wrapping up. I just sharing my wife. I don't know how many of these that I'm going to do when it comes to the blended family because there's so much that you can cover. Because you're dealing with all sorts of things that may happen, that may come. All the problems, the baggage that people may bring into a blended family. Because, again, no one's perfect. And so this may be the first one. I may have three or four more after this. So who knows? Plus, I want to get those that aren't here. Making sure they're listening. Can't always trust social media. But blended families this is a topic I've never spoke on, but it's an important topic because you have to understand that there are more blended marriages than there are regular traditional marriages because, you know, if you are like some people, first off, let me just throw up that scripture of Matthew. Let me just make this a disclaimer and make sure that we understand. It says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemn yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye when there is the beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. Now, in anything that I say today, I'm not trying to judge. I just want to hit on some points and just highlight some things because of the fact is we're not all perfect. And sometimes we don't know. Sometimes our behavior could be a little toxic to our whole family or to our surroundings. And we don't realize that. So I'm not trying to, pastor's picking on me. I don't know your situation. I don't want to know your situation. God knows it. So I'm not trying to judge in any way, shape, or form. But if you feel judged afterwards, you're just going to have to deal with it. But understand that I do love you. I do love you. Blended families, this is from the U.S. Bureau of Census. It says there are 1,300 new step families. They're either called blended families, step families, or remarriage families. 1,300 new step families are forming every day. That's crazy. Over 50% of U.S. families are remarried or recoupled. The average marriage in America lasts only 7 years. Who's beat that? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 out of 2 marriages end in divorce, or 1 out of 2 marriages stay together. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. 75% remarry. 66% of those living together or remarried break up when children are involved. The percentage of blended families is a whole lot greater than the traditional family. So, again, it's not my intent to judge if you've been divorced or what have you, you remarried. Thank God for it. If you're still single, we love you. Thank God for it. God is a miracle working God. So don't quit. Don't give up. If that's your desire to remarry again, He'll send somebody across your path. Does He like it? No. But does He still love you? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes when people have children, it is not always in a covenant relationship. K- Can you imagine people actually have kids out of wedlock? Well, if you know our story, it's unbelievable. But when you get married, the thing is that you don't just marry the person you marry. The whole family is involved. And that blended family, sometimes you come into that family and you're thinking, what did I get myself into? No one does anything. I said, you can come from a healthy environment in your own family and come into a unhealthy environment. And you're thinking, if you don't say anything, guess what? You're going to end up adapting to that environment. If you don't stand for the truth, you're going to be living in fear. And we'll talk about that out of 2 Timothy 1:7. So when a man leaves his mother and father to be joined together with his wife, people have used the scripture to say, well, see, you're supposed to be with the wife's family. That's not necessarily so. See, the husband leaves the mother and wife, their mother and father, because he becomes the protector and provider for the wife. That doesn't mean you abandon your own family. If somebody is having you to abandon your family, that's not scriptural. That's actually a bit controlling and a little bit cultish. So you don't ever abandon your whole family. So if you're in a situation like that where people are trying to keep you from your family, unless your family is actually just flat out toxic. But again, we have to examine our own selves. Well, how do I know if I'm toxic or not? Well, do people like being around you? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit attracts. Toxic behavior repels. And sometimes people just may not agree. I said, you get political with stuff, they don't like it. Well, you still got to stand firm. I've been in some circles, I've heard men say, well, we don't talk about religion and we don't talk about politics. All right. Go you. You mean Jesus is never brought up at not once? Okay. You sinners. No, I'm sorry. And the thing about it is that the wife is called to respect the husband. The husband is called to respect, to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Any type of that control, and I've said it before and I'll continue to reiterate that over and over and over again, over and over and over again, you don't have control over each other. That is unrighteous. And you can righteously oppose that type of stuff. You can just say, no, I'm not doing that. Why? Because you're trying to control me in that situation. Now, don't do that for everything. I need help with the laundry. No, you're trying to control me. It doesn't work that way. Do the laundry. Help fold some clothes. Once I started getting back to doing some things, just health-wise and stuff, and my wife knew that. Can you bring the laundry up? Can you change out the laundry? I said, yeah. I said, man, I can't milk this any longer. So you have to start doing those things. I said, I mean, she put me to work. We had our sister-in-law, her sister coming in and brother-in-law staying with us and stuff. And we had to get some flooring done. And of course she'll start it. And then I'll have to finish it up. I have to cut the corners and everything else. I said, I was spent. I was tired afterwards, but it was good. Because I got back to doing what I was known to do. Okay, do not judge. The problem with judging someone else is that we don't find any problem with our own behavior. Because we're constantly looking at someone else. And then when we're judging them, we don't look at what we're doing. So we got to get that beam out of our own eye before we try to judge our spouse or judge our children or judge any other family member in that arena. And sometimes people want to set themselves up to be the judges so that no one will judge them. If you can point out everyone else's flaw, who's going to point out yours? So now they have someone else judging you or correcting you. But what they have actually done was seduce someone into committing an immoral act. The devil is the one who critiques or criticizes and tries to get you to think on things that are negative and that may harm you. I guess this month is the mental awareness month or something like that. We're kind of ending on that, and Tuesday will be it. I've never even considered that, but I do understand there are people who are mentally ill. But I believe the reason why, now I'm not a doctor or anything like that, is because they've been thinking on the wrong thing. Negative thoughts. And if you're struggling with mental illness and you're fighting that, I'm fighting these thoughts, Lord. Jesus died for that as well. He died for all of that. There was a man named Legion who had many demons. I'm telling you, this man was crazy. Thousands of demons and Jesus ended up casting these demons out and sending them to a herd of pigs. And then, of course, they went off the cliff and drowned. But after it was all said and done, this man was sitting in his right mind. So when people are dealing with mental illness and we want to raise awareness to it, I've said this before. I've said it about cancer. I said it about every disease or what have you. But when we're trying to raise awareness for Jesus and what he's done, not for the illness. It is more powerful in what Jesus has done rather than sitting around sulking and, well, you're going to, I understand that. Jesus is a whole lot more powerful. The word of God is a whole lot more powerful. It's not to be, what's the word? You want to have sympathy for him or empathy or what have you, but the reality of it is Jesus died for that so that they wouldn't have to go through it. And guess what? Every born again believer has that anointing on their life in order to do exactly what Jesus did. There shouldn't be more mental illness around us than there are people who are in their right mind. And sometimes we just kind of play into that. I'm not trying to raise awareness for cancer. Cancer is nothing compared to Jesus. COVID is nothing compared to Jesus. What is this? Every other name. Monkeypox? Are they trying to call it? Well, there you go. Are you bragging? I'm bragging on boasting in Jesus. Do we not believe what he's done for us? Second Corinthians. So we have to tear down these strongholds. Second Corinthians 10. This is the Passion Translation. Did you get that? On there it says, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. We don't use, this is talking to the church, manipulation to achieve our aims. The enemy does that. When you're dealing with mental illness, I guarantee you, again, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just spitballing. But I guarantee you there's a narcissist right behind that. Because they'll make you think you're going crazy when they're the one with the disorder. Thank God I put over 300 hours into that. Because I wouldn't have known that. Am I an expert? Nope, but I do know a little bit. I did stay at Holiday Inn one night. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Or strongholds. The Aramaic word for strongholds can also be translated rebellious castles. Paul seems to be referring to demonic strongholds or centers of opposition to the light of the gospel. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy or citadels of argumentations, which includes fantasies that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought or every scheme. And Paul is using the concept of taking prisoner of war, but in this case, the prisoners held captive are faulty patterns of thought that defy God's authority, and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, We stand ready to punish or court-martial any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. The greatest battle is where? That you'll ever have in your life. Right here. And the enemy will love nothing more than to put those negative thoughts into you. And sometimes it'll come through friends. Sometimes it'll come through your blended family. Sometimes it'll come through your children. Sometimes it'll come through your own thoughts. You're thinking on the wrong thing. We bring that into captivity. You want to help stop mental awareness? Get it with the Word of God. Bring it into captivity. I was talking with a gentleman, and he's over here. He was going through some stuff and going through his own storm and his own tribulation. And it was like he was thinking, I know what the Word of God says. I understand that, but you know, sometimes these thoughts, it's no. Here's the thing. I got this from Creflo Dollar one time. In your mind, I just want you to count or say your ABCs. Go ahead and do that. I've done this before, but indulge me. Y'all saying it? Now, out loud, I want you to count to 10. Right now, ready to go. Now, what happened to that thought? It stopped. So when you open up your mouth, when you have bad thoughts, and you open up your mouth with the Word of God, you kill that thought. You bring it into captivity. You put a new thought in there. And sometimes you're going to have to do that every single day until it becomes second nature to you. Because you can begin to speak out things that God never even told you. Well, I wonder why all this stuff is coming against me. Fix your mouth. Fix your thoughts. I don't know of anyone who does not have a negative thought. Everyone has negative thoughts, but they don't act on them. See, I just had one right now. Just had one right now. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. So even in the Bible, not only in our own manual, FCF, but even in the Word of God, tells me that I can't bust somebody's head open. I can't throat punch people. Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. You're fighting the wrong person when you're fighting each other. And those families, you're fighting the wrong person. There's a spirit behind that. And if you're constantly going to be at each other's throat, you're never, ever going to, nothing's going to get resolved. It'll still be there. So your fight, your flight, is a spiritual battle. Your thought life can lead you down the wrong path, whether they are your own thoughts or the enemy may have planted some through other people because they're acting like 13-year-old little kids. You still have control over anything that anyone may throw at you. You have control. Doesn't matter what they say. How you respond to them. You can't stop people from saying the things they want to say to you. Now, here's that thought. Again, when you're out there in the world, people say stuff, talk smack on the schoolyard. You fight. Some people, well, fighting doesn't solve anything. Well, apparently you never want to fight. That's like saying winning isn't everything, says every loser. Fighting doesn't solve anything. Well, it depends on how you fight. Spiritual warfare, when you're doing spiritual warfare, that's a good fight. Because you win. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. This may not solve anything. Shut them up for a minute or two. Kind of feels good for a minute or two. But after it's all said and done, doesn't feel that great. We war not against the flesh. Here's something. So when you respond with the Word and confidence in who your Father is and who you are in Christ, the enemy will try and spin it around and make it look like you're being arrogant and prideful. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of God. Now here's some things that, this is one principle that I live by. There's four that I live by, and that God is adding more to it as I grow up in Him, is that I'll never lie. I'll never have anyone lie for me. I'll never lie for anyone else. And I'll never submit. The fourth one, y'all can use. I'll never submit to a false narrative about myself. So it doesn't matter what everybody else says. I know what I do and what I don't do. And I know what I say and what I don't say. And I know why I said it. Sometimes, you know, in order to find a rat, you got to give them a little information and watch where they take it. And they'll take it right back to the mother nest. Every single time. 10 times out of 10, it'll work. And they're trying to be your good friend. Oh, brother, I have people literally, while I was in COVID, recovering, somebody text me and tell me, you want to sit down and talk? Have some coffee? I don't ever do that. No. What would they want? Information. Had another person calling me up. Hey, how's it going, brother? Everything good? You want to sit down and talk about so-and-so's relationship with... No! Because number one, I couldn't even talk then. Two, I'd never even been out the house. I can barely get to the restroom, the bathroom. You want me to go have some coffee with you? How you catch a rat? Give them a little information. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, New Living Translations. But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. It's what you can confess over yourself. Psalms 139:14, it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The enemy will love nothing more for you to get to thinking on the things that he's given you to think on. He doesn't want, your identity is so important when it comes to those blended families and things of that nature, because people will try to change you. When you don't speak up in those environments, you begin to adapt to those environments, good or bad. Sometimes it's good because you may have been a person like myself, introverted. My in-laws, they talk. My family, they talk. They love to talk. They love to sit around the table and talk. I don't talk very much. So that kind of helps draw that out of me and helps me to become a little more extroverted and stuff like that. So those things are good. But then there are the toxic stuff, okay? And whatever it is, any type of behavior, what have you, that is toxic, it's toxic. So you have to be able to identify that and be able to speak up, because if it don't, it will begin to affect your life, your marriage, your families, with your stepchildren and things of that nature. Because the thing about it is that Jesus is still doing a work in all of us. No one's perfect. He's still doing a work in me. He's still doing a work in you. Believe it or not, Richard, He's still doing a work in you. I know you're perfect. Still doing the work. So when it comes to blended family, sometimes maybe we want to speak for others, say things that they never had said before. We have to allow them, even if they're not a talkative person, to be able to control their own story. Sometimes that might be hard because you might be the storyteller of the family. And you may want to say some things. I said, but everyone has their original copy, right? And if you don't sit down and actually talk with the person, see, I don't know Jason. Don't know much about him. Respiratory therapist, you the head guy there? One of the guys there? See, I don't know much, but I do know he came in my room. Said that he was praying for me. That's all I need to know. Because there was his heart behind that. I appreciated that. And that's probably, We probably talk more in that hospital than we ever did around here, right? But if I don't ever sit down and actually talk with them and get to know this man, how am I going to tell his story to somebody else? It's going to be all jacked up. It'll just be like the National Enquirer or something. But again, we never submit to a false narrative about ourselves. Galatians 6 says this, brethren, and this is kind of the as part of the vision for Westview Church, for we're connecting real people into real relationships while serving the real one, Jesus. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual or mature or godly, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit of God, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. We got to be able to be good judges in this. Now, I'm saying the Bible tells us not to judge, but do we judge? Honestly, yeah. Good or bad, we do. But can we do it righteously? Richard, can I use you as an example? Come on up, Joe. Come on up, Richard. Come on up, Andy. You sitting there all by yourself looking pitiful. I'm just messing with you. You're a good man. You're a good young man. Good young man. There I am judging, right? See, that was my example. Glad you caught that. You're on point. Here's the thing. Let's come over here. Now, Joe and Richard could be talking. Having a conversation, and Joe may say something that Richard may not have liked. True correction is doing it right there, face to face. You restore them. If you're spiritual, you help restore them, and you speak the word, well, this is what the word of God says, or what have you. And I'm just saying that it's not just father and son. It could just be two brothers in Christ or what have you. True correction is right here. But if Richard were to go and tell Andy what Joe has said, because he didn't like what was said, and he's just being a little mischievous and all. Now, that's not Richard. See, y'all judging. And Andy, and Richard wants Andy to go and correct Joe based upon what Richard told Andy. So now Andy comes over here and begins to correct Joe. Let me ask you a question. Is Andy in the right to correct him? Why not? He wasn't in a situation. He didn't hear what was said. So basically what this is an unhealthy environment. And sometimes we do that as a family. Because Andy never heard what Josiah said. So if that happens, and if Richard is basically, I know we don't like labels, but I'm going to just say it, narcissistic, because I'm not saying he is. Just an example. You have to realize Richard can now see that Joe will respond to him, and now Richard can use that and bring any false accusation against Josiah anytime he wants. And people will sometimes do this, and they will get 4, 5, 6, 7 different people in order to go right at Joe, in order to break him down like it's like a death by a thousand cuts. Gaslight, manipulate, slander, put false accusations on him. You realize that a false accusation from a narcissist is actually a confession of themselves, of what they've done. So Andy doesn't have a right, even from a spiritual standpoint, even if he's a spiritual leader, to correct Joe. Now, the right way to do it is, hey, Joe, what happened? I heard you said this or what have you. And then Joe can repeat it, or he can say, no, this is actually what I said. And you can go from there and with the correction. Because now he revealed it to you. Now it became from unhealthy to healthy. But if you never ask a question and you just turn around and correct someone based upon what somebody else had said, you're in an unhealthy situation. Now that's manipulation. That's almost like triangulation. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, you did good. Keep smiling, Joe. And we don't realize, even as families, we do that sometimes. So if you have a problem, talk it out. If you have a problem with person A over here, you need to talk that out face to face rather than trying to go to somebody else and then get them to correct them. Because now you basically, I mean, you're judging, but now you're seducing somebody else to do something that is immoral. These are unhealthy situations and unhealthy. It's an unhealthy environment. And I'm going to just let you know, hardly anybody ever heals from that. Because they just begin to adapt in those situations, and it becomes, and then they end up doing it to their children, and then their children grow up and then become adults, and then they do it to their children. And it's just an ongoing thing. And you don't realize that's actually a toxic behavior. But I didn't know. Well, we know now. I didn't know either. But thank God for his grace. We're all work in progresses. He's still doing a work in you. What do I like to say? Seed, time, harvest. Stop beating yourself up over that. Well, I've done it. I was studying out. So when I was studying out Jezebel spirit, narcissism, gaslighting, manipulation, love bombing, there were certain things I had to repent over because I had used it in the past. And I said, God, forgive me for that. I had to change my mind in that and begin to renew my mind the right way, because you pick up other things from other people, from friends, and from all over the place. No one's perfect. But one step at a time, God can continue to restore those broken pieces within that family. Correction is done face to face. Shouldn't be calling somebody up. Sometimes I have somebody randomly call me up and tell me something based upon what I said, and they didn't know I planted it, just to see if they can correct me accurately. 10 times out of 10, they can't. And they call themselves a spiritual leader. That's an unhealthy environment that they're trying to set up for me. Now, if I wouldn't have studied that stuff out, I never would have known. When you invite the whole family, here comes the judge. We begin to judge one another. We begin to tear down each other. We begin to contemplate to do certain things in order to come against another person. I said, that's not what God intended for blended families. You may have differences. That's okay. That's a given. But the one thing that brings you all together is your relationship with Jesus. And not only are they family members, but they are also your brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus says, and this is how they'll know you are my disciples. You're what for each other? Your love. So yeah, they're your children. They're your adult children. They're your cousins. They're your aunts and uncles and stuff. I said, but if they're born again, they're also your brothers and sisters. You may not agree with them all the time. Stand on the word. Don't back down from that. They may not like you for it. That's okay. They may not agree with what your what you believe as far as your faith is concerned. That's okay. But you don't have to adapt to theirs either. If you know what is true is in the word of God, you don't have to back down from that. God wants you to have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's the Amplified version. Says this. Did I give that to you? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, of cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Give us a lot. You've heard me say this before. If he's given us self-control, why on earth would we give that over to someone else? And you don't realize that people will do kind of like with Andy's situation, and or I would say Richard's situation, they will do everything they can in order to control someone else. I'm telling you, they will plot out stuff all day long just to control, just to move that boundary just a little bit. Sometimes you just got to be firm. It may come out wrong, but they'll get the picture. They'll get the picture. If they don't like you, oh well. But at least you're standing firm. That's your boundary. That's for this right here. Your soul is important. Your mind matters. And what they want to do is just basically just constantly pick at you. And pick and pick and pick. You have to be able to stand your ground because God didn't give you a spirit of fear. We're supposed to be talking about blended families. I am. There's a lot of problems. I said, everybody's going to listen. When you unpack your bags and you get into another relationship and you start unpacking, there's going to be some roaches there. That's going to come out. But like in Genesis 1:26, it says, God has given you authority over every creeping thing that crawls on this earth. You have authority over those roaches. Those roaches could be when you have your stepchild. Well, Billy doesn't want to play football. Billy wants to be a dancer. Okay. God, I need your help in this. Because we all play football in this house. Susie may not want to go to church. Maybe she's questioning God. Larry likes to go to school high. High school high. Tommy likes to break curfew every night. People have roaches, but you still have dominion over those roaches. That's why it's important, even when you're in blended families, when you're married together, you came from another relationship, and now you're in that covenant marriage, you have to understand, just like in the traditional, that marriage is supposed to take place first over your children. And sometimes you will get people, you will get parents that may want to score brownie points with the stepchild to look good and stuff, and then they end up hindering their marriage over it. And that splits apart. Now you got another breakup. If you're going through hurt, the best thing to do before you jump into another relationship is allow God to fully heal you before you bleed on somebody else. Before you jump into it. Because you can end up hurting them again and again. Because you had never dealt with that anger. You never dealt with that pain. You never allowed God. I said, this is why we, as blended families, and even your own families, you've got to be able to create healthy environments for your children. So they know how to deal with that stuff when they get older. Or if they get into a blended. I said, you may have a son or a daughter that might marry someone who already had a kid. Imagine that. But if you can instill some of those principles in them and raise them up in a healthy environment, I wouldn't say there's dysfunction everywhere. But if you can raise them up in a healthy environment by loving God and growing in grace, learn to forgive quickly. That's what we try to do in our homes. We forgive quickly. You're going to be on your way. You can live a long life by forgiving quickly. If you're holding on to it, my goodness, that just opens up the door for the enemy to do all sorts of stuff in your life. So if there's anything that you're holding on to, let it go. Drop it. I've used this expression about how, you know, villagers will catch a monkey. They'll put a little hole. They'll put the bait in the hole, and the monkey will put their hand in. And then they'll grab that thing, and then when they pull it out, they can't because their hand is bigger because they got that object in their hand. And that object is offense. And sometimes we like to hold on to that offense for a long time when we can't pull it out, and then the enemy can come in, put a noose around your neck and just drag you and lead you wherever he wants to go. Just bop you on the head and take you on. Let go of the offense, whatever you're dealing with right now, let go. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. Because you need to be healthy for your family. You need to be healthy for your kids, for your stepchildren, for your in-laws, your son-in-laws, your daughter-in-laws, and things of that nature. It's important to let go. We forgive quickly, I said, but sometimes I have a problem letting go because I want to bust ahead to the white meat shows. Lord, please, can you change your word up for me? No, he ain't going to do that. I got to walk in love just like everyone else. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's any in here that have been going through some pain, some hurt, because of family, because of children, because of the situation on the job or wherever it is, their boss may have said something that they didn't like. Somebody may have cut you off while you were driving here on the way to church. And you're holding on to any of that anger. If that's you today, if you're holding on to anything, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But I do want you to open up that hand and let it go. Because it's not worth it. God loves you so much that he sowed love. Drop the offense, spirit from a spiritual standpoint, and just let it go. And I guarantee you, you'll start feeling the Father's love just warm up in your heart right now on the inside of you. Lord, I forgive this person here in my life. I forgive them for what they've done. I forgive them for taking advantage of me. I forgive them for what they've said to me. Lord, help me, heal me, restore me, so that I could be better for you and for my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There'll be a part two. But I'm so glad y'all came today. Well, Pastor Tim, I don't know about giving. I don't want to give. There's just a gut feeling in me. Maybe that gut feeling is indigestion. It might be a little gas there. You might want to let that go. Excuse yourself and let that go. He loves you. He cares about you. And he wants what's best for you. He did not give you a spirit of timidity, cowardice. I'm afraid if I say this, they're not going to like it. Welcome to life. People aren't going to like what you say. You can mention the name of Jesus and the enemy don't like it. Demons shudder at the name of Jesus. Just go around spooking people. Jesus. Jesus. what do you say? Everybody stand. Is anyone here dealing with any pain in their body? Headaches, backaches? Yes, ma'am. Several? Hips. It's hurting right now in the name. Just stretch your hand out to her, if everyone would. from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, we call your body healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have bore every sickness, every disease. Doesn't matter. Your name is above all names, Lord. And we just thank you for healing in Anita's body in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? Indigestion? That's what. Pepto-Bismol. Yes, ma'am.
So my fracture is healed, but now the pain is coming from arthritis, so I don't have to wear the boot anymore, but I'm dealing with that already.
The fracture is healed, but there's pain. Stick with the first part. The fracture's healed in Jesus' name. No more pain. Amen. We command it to be healed in Jesus' name. Okay? Come on, let me see you stomp. Kurt Franklin, stomp.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for this family, this reunion that you have brought together, Lord. We thank you that we are not all perfect, but if we have someone that lives in us, that is. And we thank you for that. As you continue to work on our lives and everything that we're doing, it's not behavior modification, Father God. It's just us getting to the place to where we understand that your grace abounds so much more when there's sin there as well. Help us not to judge one another, but to love one another and help restore one another so that they are completely healed through every affliction that they've came through. We thank you for these disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You all have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.